This is Michael Weiss with Series 7 Exam Tutor. The following podcast will cover the capital asset pricing model. Now, this podcast is relevant to the Series 7 and relevant to other exams as well. Some of the content here might even be a little advanced for the Series 7, but you'll need to know some of the extra details for the Series 65 or Series 66 exam. So the capital asset pricing model. Now, as we're talking about CAPM, which we sometimes call it for short, it's really important to know something about standard deviation, systematic risk, unsystematic risk. Now, standard deviation measures the dispersion of returns basically compared to the average return. Standard deviation is a measure of risk. It measures volatility. And standard deviation can be broken down into two components. One component is systematic risk, and the other component is unsystematic risk. And why am I explaining the different types of risks? Well, the capital asset pricing model includes one of those types of risks, and that is systematic risk. So from a formula perspective, the capital asset pricing model goes like this. The expected return of an investment equals the risk-free rate plus beta times the expected return in the market minus the risk-free rate. Now, let's talk about beta and systematic risk. So the only risk factor in this model is beta. And beta measures systematic risk for a stock. So this model basically says that the higher the beta, the higher the expected return for your investment. Now, with systematic risk, sometimes we call that non-diversifiable. So you can't just add a stock to an all-stock portfolio and think you can reduce the systematic risk. You cannot, because all stocks are tied to the stock market. With that said, the only way you probably can reduce systematic risk is by using investments that go in the opposite direction of the market, such as buying put options, selling futures contracts, or even buying an inverse ETF. Now, back to systematic risk and beta. Well, there are three types of systematic risks. There's market risk, and of course, that is measured by beta. That's the main risk for a stock. Then there's interest rate risk. That's the main systematic risk for a bond, and that's measured by a concept called duration. And then there's inflation risk. Now, then there's unsystematic risk. And so unsystematic risk we'll say is diversifiable risk. So yes, you can add a stock to an all-stock portfolio and reduce unsystematic risk. Well, how do you do that? Just find one with a low correlation to what you have. Now, correlation is a little bit advanced for the Series 7 and other exams, but correlation factors range from -1 to +1. +1 is perfect, perfectly bad, because +1 means that whatever you're adding to the portfolio moves exactly like your existing securities. It's like adding an oil stock to an oil portfolio. You don't want to do that if your goal is to reduce risk. So you want to add stocks with low correlation to what you have. And if you can find a stock with a negative correlation, that's even better, but that's kind of hard to do. Now, back to unsystematic risk. So there are five different types of unsystematic risks. There is business risk. That's basically company-specific risk. So let's say that Apple comes out with a new iPhone, and maybe investors or the public aren't too impressed by it. Well, and that maybe that drags down the earnings. Well, that's very specific to Apple. That's a business risk. Now, there's also liquidity risk. Every company has a different level of liquidity risk. So small cap stocks have a lot of liquidity risk. Large cap stocks have less liquidity risk. And treasury notes have almost no liquidity risk. Then there's credit risk. So credit risk basically is the risk of default. And that's mainly a risk for corporate bonds. So if a company is not in such good financial shape, they may not be able to make an interest payment or repay your principal, then the company would go into default. And credit risk, every company has a different level of credit risk, but I can assure you that if a company defaults on its debt, its stock price would also get crushed. Then there's regulatory risk. Regulatory risk is the big picture regulatory or regulations risk. Just so a change in regulations might have an adverse impact on your investment. And sometimes people will use legislative risk as a way to describe regulatory risk. Well, legislative risk is basically very specific to when Congress changes laws, which is really a type of regulatory risk. And then finally, there's political risk. That's the risk of that you find in the emerging markets. Maybe the risk of a coup. So a new government wants to come in and kick out the old government by force. So we tend to have, or occasionally have, a coup in the emerging markets, like countries like China or Thailand and others, but we don't have coups in the United States. Now, back to the capital asset pricing model. And just to go over the formula again, basically, this formula, CAPM, allows you to predict the expected return of your investment. It's equal to, the expected return is going to be equal to the risk-free rate, which is basically a treasury bill or a 90 or 91-day treasury bill, plus the beta times the expected return of the market minus the risk-free rate. Now, as I mentioned previously, this model only includes systematic risk. This model assumes that all of your non-systematic or unsystematic risk can be eliminated by fully diversifying. And as a result, you're only left with systematic risk. And to take this one step further, you know, this model basically says the higher the beta, the higher the expected return. And the lower the beta, the lower the expected return. Well, beta measures systematic risk. And if a stock has a beta that's greater than one, it'll have more systematic risk than the market. If a stock has a beta that's equal to one, it'll have the same systematic risk as the market. And if a stock has a beta that's less than one, it'll have less systematic risk compared to the market. Well, what do we need to know for an exam? Well, CAPM allows an investor to estimate and expect a return of an investment. It would also be important to know the inputs to the model, such as the risk-free rate, the beta of the investment, and the expected return of the market. You might also want to know that the terms in parentheses, which is the expected return of the market minus the risk-free rate, that gives you the market risk premium. And for those of you who are using Kaplan, you may see several calculation questions in which they give you two securities, and one of the securities has a beta of one and a corresponding expected return. Well, that means this security would have the same expected return as the market. Once you know the expected return of the market, you can figure out the expected return of the other security. You can periodically check back, check on the website, which is for additional episodes. The website is www.series7examtutor.com. Thanks for listening.